Portions of today's show may be pre-recorded.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1178.
The answer.
Yes, ma'am, that's Audrey Mason, back from her sabbatical. I don't know where she's been.
Sabbatical.
You're in your sabbatical. And Scooney Side-by-Side sponsors this segment. They're out in El Cajon and Greenfield. If you got a side-by-side UTV and you need service, boy, that's the place to go. All your accessories, upgrades, lights, winches, maintenance, and insurance repair. Insurance companies love Scoonies. So if you need to get your brakes done, shocks, oil changes, anything at all, Scoonies Side-by-Side in El Cajon will keep you hooked up. Right there in El Cajon off Greenfield. Check them out. All right, we got Ed in the house as well, along with Audrey. And is Ed's guest called in yet? And who do you want to do an introduction on this gentleman?
Certainly, Dave. Thank you. Our guest is Randy Bannis, and he is an off-road vehicle advocate like Audrey and I and others. Randy is, I believe, on his fourth term on the Desert Advisory Council for the Bureau of Land Management. And Randy is also the president of Friends of El Mirage and Friends of Jawbone, two substantially powerful friends organizations. So I'm with Friends of Ocotillo Wells, and it's a very small group. The Friends of those two areas have taken over management from the BLM and have a large budget and do all the work out in those areas.
I think it's drastically different, though, for the Bureau of Land Management as opposed to state parks and what you can actually do. Because if you look at Friends of Oceana Dunes and what they do and how they can actually go after state parks for their regulation, Friends of Ocotillo Wells does not have the same authority.
Friends of Ocotillo Wells is a cooperative nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So we have a cooperative relationship and agreement with the state. Friends of Oceana Dunes does not have that, and they have sued the state and various organizations.
And Friends of El Mirage is similar to...
No, they have an agreement with the BLM, but they've taken over management.
Similar to Friends of Ocotillo Wells, right? But they've completely taken over management.
For the most part.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk to our guest.
Randy, are you there?
Randy, how you doing, buddy?
Well, hi, I'm doing great. Thanks, Ed, for inviting me. This is really cool.
Yeah, we really, really are looking forward to having you on. So kind of tell us, how's everything going? What do you need from the off-road community to make your job easier?
Wow. You know, it's summer is hitting, so we get a chance to finally catch our breath up here in the West Mojave Desert. I think folks are going to be heading to the mountains and to the rivers soon, but it was a very busy, busy year for us. El Mirage is seeing all-time high in visitation. And Jawbone is sees during the big holidays, particularly President's Day weekend. We see close to 125 to 150,000 people in the general vicinity. They're really two drastically different places. When one of my mentors, I hope to keep his memory alive by keep saying his name, Ed Waldheim.
Yep.
Ed was my mentor. He founded Friends of Jawbone and Friends of El Mirage. And when he passed in 2019, everybody was scrambling to see how they're going to fill his shoes. It took a lot of us. And we all agreed that Friends of Jawbone and Friends of El Mirage would be the best place for me. I thought it would be like apples and oranges, and it's more like coconuts and grapes. They have very, very different places.
Well, El Mirage, for those that don't know, is the salt flats, right? So you get the, you set the world record for speed at El Mirage. It's just absolutely stunning dry lake bed. And then Jawbone, for those that don't know, is super rocky, mountainy, big boulders, lots of cactus, kind of towards, what is that, the 14 at the base of Lake Isabella? Like just exactly. south of that, about 15 miles, I think. It's just super right. beautiful area, right? Right on the 395 turn where you would, you'd hit the 14 or you go to Bishop or Lone Pine on the other direction. But Jawbone is just stunning. There's some really gorgeous areas to ride through. Wasn't Jawbone under attack this last year? Didn't I hear something about the corridor between Dove,
Dove Springs
and Jawbone go potentially we potentially were going to lose
Red Rock Canyon State Park. Yeah, they're doing their management exactly. plan, and they did a variety of clampdowns on off-roading and in Red Rock, and they they're making it difficult to go from Jawbone to Dove Springs.
Yeah, the direct corridors between Jawbone and Dove, fortunately, stay on the west side of Highway 14, and those corridors remain in place, not just the smaller trails, but also the DWP power line and the water aqueduct, the two aqueduct roads. But Ed's exactly correct. The Red Rock State Park sort of sits as the monkey in the middle when you're trying to get to California City, which is also a huge riding area, when you're trying to get to Randsburg, which is a great, great mm-hmm. place to congregate and meet fellow off-roaders, or trying to even get up to Spangler, which was recently expanded by 30,000 acres. Red Rock Canyon State Park is that monkey in the middle, and it had always supported off-highway vehicle access as well as street legal access, but a recent management plan put forward by state parks only allowed OHV travel on one route in hopes of maintaining some connectivity. And lo and behold, the environmental community has tossed it in court and said that we can't even have that 1 4-mile OHV route. So that's everything's on hold until then, and we're keeping our eye on how that battle resolves.
I really appreciate that update. I've kind of been out of the loop for a little bit here, at least the last 6 months or so. But just before that, you did say that just on the west side of the 14, there is still the route that you can do. So if you do dual sport or something along those lines, you know, a side by side or a buggy, you can still go and travel between the two.
Absolutely.
Oh, see,
absolutely.
I didn't realize that.
The challenge for us had been in the past that the lands between the two OHV areas, which is probably only about 8 miles, is a area of critical environmental concern and has a designated trail system. But about 15 or 20 years ago, you couldn't tell. It almost looked like one contiguous OHV open area with open riding taking place in the in-between. This was in a time when we lost portions of the neighboring Rand Mountains we lost the trail system in the western Rands due to off-highway vehicle off-route travel. And so Ed Waldheim was concerned that we would lose that those trails between Jawbone and Dove Springs as well. And that was really his work in the last 15 years of his life to try to implement the designated trail system and keep people on the designated trails and perform restoration on the closed roads. And I got to say, he did a really amazing job of doing that. So you have the thrill of riding anywhere you want in Jawbone and Dove Springs. But then you have these beautiful, remote, and rather lonely trails, often completely full of flowers in the spring, that help you connect these two areas so people get to feel the the thrill of the motor in the OHV areas, and then get to enjoy the beauty of the outdoors in between.
All right, hey, hang in there, buddy. He's going to keep staying with us. Oh, great. We're going to have to take a little bit of a break, but we come back a whole lot more. STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
SNS Off-Road Magazine, man, I tell you, if you're an off-roader, then you have to be involved with SNS Off-Road Magazine. You go to SSORMAG.com, help them out, throw a few dollars their way, keeps their website up and running. Everything you want to know, news, what's going on out in the desert, classified. There's also articles written. It'll keep you abreast from a political standpoint. It's all right there at SNS Off-Road Magazine. Go to SSORMAG.com, SSORMAG.com. All right, Ed, you want to reintroduce our guest just so folks maybe just tuned in?
Thank you. We have Randy Banas on the radio with us. And Randy is the president of Friends of Jawbone and Friends of El Mirage. He also serves on the Desert Advisory Council for the Bureau of Land Management. So, Randy, will you tell us, what are your activities out at Jawbone Canyon? What does your organization do there?
We're a partner of the Bureau of Land Management in helping them manage approximately 1.25 million acres of public lands. I call it the Greater Jawbone Canyon area. We are fortunate to have the support of the Off-Highway Motor Vehicle Grants Program from the Department of State Parks. And with that, we groom the trails, we put in the signs, we pick up the trash, and we run the visitor center at Jawbone Station. That's our biggest activity, and each year that becomes a harder and harder job because the program, the grants program, it gets both more and more competitive and more complicated.
Yeah, I understand that. I look at the grants. I saw your grant. And a lot of nonprofits have stopped applying for grants because it's so difficult to keep up with all the requirements that the state has. So kudos for you guys to continue doing that. I've been to Jawbone a couple times, and I tried to climb one of the big hill climbs there way back. I need to go back with a better bike because I didn't make it to the top. These are just enormous hills. So tell us a little bit about what's the terrain, what's the size of the place, and what if somebody were to go there with an off-road vehicle, what would they expect to find?
Jawbone Canyon is just as you mentioned, Ed, is nestled literally in a canyon with hill climbs on both sides of Jawbone Canyon Road. That's approximately 5 miles long. So we're looking at about 6,000 acres that's available for hill climbing and buggy riding and a more challenging kind of terrain right there in the OHV open area. But then you get on the other side of those mountain ranges that bound the canyon, and that's where you find the literally hundreds to thousands of miles of designated roads for OHV motorcycles, quads, buggies, four-wheel drive, and that's where you really get to go into the deep, dark country. Backcountry and go out with a group of friends, or you can get out there and if that's your thing, you can go out there alone and find yourself alone most of the day, even on a weekend, not maybe the busy weekend, the holiday weekends, but on a regular weekend, you really have a lot of room to spread out there.
Okay. And, you know, years ago I went there and I met with Ed Waldheim, and we rode over to Randsburg and had lunch. And I thought that was just a great ride. It was just the right distance and the right destination. Is that still a thing you can do?
It's a great activity. And Randsburg really embraces OHV visitors. There are so many that Friends of Jawbone actually purchased property in downtown Randsburg for OHV parking to try to help people find a place to park so they wouldn't be leaning there.
How cool! I didn't know that.
Building. So, and we also maintain porta potties in town because it's those after you've had had a burger and a couple refreshments. Sometimes it's nice to be able to have a place to stop before you hit the trail.
Yep. I totally agree. The white flowers are my biggest my biggest complaint is the white flowers, the toilet paper left behind by people. Ladies are number one in regards to that.
They're
my biggest complaint is women leaving behind toilet paper. Take a freaking Ziploc bag with you, put it in a Ziploc bag and put it back in your car if you need to do
and then
that.
Stop at a gas station when you fuel up and put it in the receptacle.
Exactly. Throw it away.
Hey, Randy, I want to bounce something off you, and that's El Mirage. You know, Bonneville, somebody was telling me the other day the salt is down to less than inches thick, and that's only going to be viable for so long. So you know what's going to happen. They're all going to roar over to El Mirage. What's the status of El Mirage and land speed racing?
So El Mirage is centerpiece. Audrey was correct in the introduction, is definitely that lake bed. It's 6 to 7 mile long, flat lake bed, and speed is the thing there.
Yeah.
It's one of the few places you can go and really open it up.
Right.
It doesn't really have salt like the Bonneville. It's more of a clay surface, the Southern California Timing Association that is a conglomerate of race clubs, puts on about a half a dozen events there in the summer, spring, summer, and fall. There's only two places in the country they can go, like you said, Bonneville and El Mirage. And Bonneville is having trouble with its surface. We also have trouble with our surface. Some of the cracks that we're seeing in the lake bed was from the drought and overpumping by neighboring agricultural and growing cities and towns. We've been lucky in the last 2 years with this beautiful rain that we've had, and we're not seeing so many of those cracks. But what we are seeing is we're seeing takeovers by car clubs and not necessarily your traditional, off-roaders. And they go out there by sometimes the hundreds,
just
and they take over the lake bed, and they don't practice rolling starts. They do donuts.
Donuts is the worst thing you could ever do on a lake bed. How dare them?
And especially it really messes it up for the Southern California Timing Association that has the most amazing and most professionally organized permitted events.
That's what my next question was going to be, Randy. I was trying to wait for a little break. Do they have to get permits for these events? And I know that for us, the Bureau of Land Management, State of California rule and regulation is, if you really wanted to implement it, 25 cars or more, you have to pull a permit for.
There should be penalties. There should be a penalty factor in there.
Yeah, especially for donuts. I mean, I know that there is. I know for a fact there is a penalty for it.
Well, but it's not big enough.
How can we
figure out who these people are and raise awareness, educate them, so that they respect the land? I go to the car races too. I love some of the drags. I go to Barona all the time. I also go out to the streets where it go you really shouldn't, you know, but it's there and it gives them an opportunity, a safe place to go. Because back in the day when I was a teenager, you used to be able to go to Qualcomm Stadium,
sure,
Jack Murphy back then, you know, and they so they would open up the parking lots for you to do the
National
drag racing and the street racing and all the different clubs.
Club,
yeah, the car clubs used to come out and do it. We used to meet down at Mission Beach and do a cruise through. They don't allow that anymore. You can't meet those car clubs. If you go do that, you can get arrested. You can get
right.
So they don't have a proper safe meeting location. How do we go about educating them that I'm okay with you utilizing the area if you're doing it respectfully and in the correct manner? You're pulling a permit, you're having that.
I think it's part of permitting. Here's the deal, and I think whoever's pulling the permit has a one sheet, rules and regulations, and here's what's going to happen if we catch you. If we catch anybody doing donuts or doing anything that's going to be detrimental to the lake bed, and just say, guess what? We find out, you'll never come back again.
You get banned.
Yeah.
But
here's something you may not know about El Mirage. A lot of the El Mirage area is actually private property.
Really?
It was created years ago out of an agreement between San Bernardino County, the state of California, the BLM, and user groups. And it was a city that was never going to be built due to a number of constraints. The county had decided they weren't going to allow that town to be built. So a lot of people held this private property, and the state put up millions of dollars to buy the private property. At the time it was created, only half of the acreage was BLM acreage. Since then, we've been able to acquire significantly more property that will be transferred to the BLM to create a more homogeneous management strategy. But, you know, some of these guys now, because you have these apps that tell you where private property and public property is,
yep,
some of these guys are smart enough to find these 10-acre properties and congregate on these properties.
They're in the middle of the dry lake bed, but they're on private property.
They do, and then the Rangers come out, and you know, federal Rangers in San Bernardino County can really only enforce the laws on federal land.
Right.
They call the sheriffs, and the sheriffs say, "Oh, that's the BLM OHV area. Call the BLM." So,
what a catch 22.
It's been tough, but we're working through it. We got the band back together, as I like to say. The new people are aware of this situation and trying to work to acquire more properties and transfer them.
Well, I tell you what, we got to take a break. Are we going to have him hang again?
I'd like to have him back.
If we can, Randy, if you could.
Yeah, if you're not in the middle of a golf game.
Oh, no chance. golf is not part of my game.
Do it the way I do.
Really, hey, is my game.
Randy, I always tell everybody the ball's too small.
Way too small.
Way too small. Cost me a fortune to play golf. Trust me, even if it's miniature. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to STORC Dirt Radio, FM
96.1
AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This is STORC Dirt Radio. Hey, if you want to keep this radio show on air and keep everybody happy and have great, great guests like Randy Banas calling in and keeping you up to date, because once this property, whatever we're talking about, is gone, you'll never see it again. And if you don't believe me, take a run out to El Cajon and go look at El Cajon Speedway. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. This segment is brought to you by Lifestyle Garage in Lakeside. If you got a Jeep, Ford, Chevy, whatever, and you want to trick it out and make it your own style, Lifestyle Garage is what they do. 619-499-5323. 619-499-5323. Right there at Winter Gardens Boulevard in Lakeside. Give them a call. Make an appointment. And let them make your dreams come true. All right, we got Randy Banas on the line, and he's been filling us in on Jawbone and El Mirage and all of the areas that if you haven't been to, you're totally missed out. I mean, it's beautiful up there. So what do you want to talk about, Randy?
Randy, are your activities at El Mirage? You said it was like grapes and coconuts. What's different about El Mirage?
We've got a couple of different things we're working on. First, again, that lake bed. The duny bushes like to encroach from the edges of the lake bed. And fortunately, the management plan allows for these to be removed periodically. And so through the grants each year, we're lucky to be able to move to a new zone each year on the lake bed, on the edge, pull those duny brushes, get them out of there. But the best part is we get to capture all of that awesome clay dust that's underneath those duny bushes, because they sit on those hummocks and collect that stuff with, you know, when the wind filters through them. And we use that material, we sift it and use it in the filling of the cracks and resurfacing of the lake bed. So that's an activity that we do that's pretty specific to that region. But one more thing that's pretty cool is that El Mirage OHV area was expanded by 6,000 acres to the north in 2019 through congressional legislation signed by then President Trump. And it's 6,000 acres of really new opportunity that people don't know about. And it's on the other side of the Shadow Mountains, so it takes some effort to get out there. And so we're working hard with the Rough Wheelers Four-Wheel Drive Club to get them out there to help us map these roads and trails that were on the ground and incorporate them in our signing and maintenance program, and start to encourage people to spread their wings and enjoy those new opportunities out there.
Yeah, I had no idea that got added. I thought all of that was private land and that you couldn't go to.
Not anymore. It's BLM land. And again, only 6,000 acres, but, you know, you can't hit a golf ball that far, right, Dave?
No. You're darn right. I wouldn't even try. I'd be out there walking for hours.
So that's a little different challenge. And, you know, the other thing that was tough was during the pandemic, it was great to see a lot of people find the great outdoors that they wasn't a part of their life. And they were able to get buggies at a pretty reasonable cost and come out and enjoy things. But, you know, at the time, single serving packaging things like that ended up with new people. They think they're going to a Forest Service campground where, you know, we provide trash. But, you know, all BLM land is pack it in, pack it out. And we had a lot of trouble with the trash at El Mirage and Jawbone. But, you know, people got the message. It's a little different experience. We used to think they thought that the trash fairies would come every Monday and clean it up for them so they could come back on Friday and trash it up again. But they got the message and things are looking better. But we always want to get the word out that trash isn't good for anybody. It's not good for us who like like to enjoy the great outdoors, and it's also not good for the critters.
Nobody wants to see it anywhere, unfortunately.
But I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing. I can't remember the last time I threw trash out the window or left trash on the ground. And I'm older than dirt. And I is it the upbringing of parents not teaching their kids? Would you say that's what it is, Randy? Because I know you don't do it.
I'll admit there are some campers or some places, you know, people have their favorite places that they like to camp.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back to that same location over and over. And I will say that we do have our fingers on the map of places that that tend to have what we call the repeat offenders. And, you know, we hope that as we continue to work with the BLM to get rangers to be able to look at things like that. You know, the rangers at the BLM Barstow Field Office, they got down to three rangers for a while.
Gosh.
To cover 10 million acres of OHV area. And
whoa,
if we had them coming over to do something, it was usually because of something pretty serious. We're not going to call anybody in for a pass violation
right.
If they're leaving trash. We'll pick up that trash.
Yeah.
But things are better up there. We've got a new field office manager. We've got a new recreation resources lead up there who comes from military, so he's tough. And we have some new recreation specialists, and they've got a full house now. The ranger side is full as well. And in fact, over Memorial Day weekend, for the first time in a long time, we actually had a ranger there the entire weekend. And they kept a good look on things. And one thing they did is they broke up a takeover by a group of Subarus. Several dozen Subarus came up onto the lake bed to do their donuts. And fortunately, we had a ranger right there to kick them off the lake bed. Tell them that they don't have a permit and they need to hit the road.
Well, that's all nice. A Subaru can do.
You know, because of the private property at El Mirage, yeah, we have to keep the gates open 24/7.
Right.
And we're not there 24/7.
No. I mean, yes, absolutely right. We just got to guilt them.
You can drive your car out there very easily. I had my old Challenger on the lake bed a couple of times. So again, it's a very unique place. It's different from your other off-road areas. And on the other side of the coin, it's really nice to see a more broad and different user group, people that you don't ordinarily think of as off-road.
Speaking of different user groups, Randy, I don't know if you could answer this question or not, but El Mirage is known for land speed and setting land speed records. Do you know who currently has and what type of vehicle it is that has the land speed record at El Mirage?
Well, that's a loaded question.
But I can say I know that it's over 300 miles per hour.
Oh, my God.
And you could do that by class. How many classes come out to El Mirage? Jeez Louise.
It is. And I got to say a shout-out to SCTA, Vice President and Friends of El Mirage Vice President, Lonnie Martin, who's battling with his health right now, and we're just all thinking of him, and we hope that things can change for him and we can see him back again.
Well, I tell you what, hey Randy,
he's a terrific guy.
I'm going to get your contact info, because one of the things I do 7 hours of radio every Sunday. Okay, so I'm always looking for content, and it sounds to me like this gentleman would be a plethora of knowledge and history of El Mirage, and I would love to do an interview with him, whether he calls in for an hour or I do it midweek, because that's the kind of guys that we need to get on tape for future racers, people using El Mirage. And by the way, thank you very much for coming on today. Ed is so negative. All he has is bad news. You at least had some bright lights in a few of the corners. So
I didn't know that 6,000 acres got added to El Mirage in 2019.
So I like Randy way better than I like Ed. So you're definitely coming back on.
I couldn't do it without Ed. Ed's been a partner of mine for over 15 years.
No, don't do that. His hat just popped off. His head got so big.
Did you guys know that Randy's probably the best dressed off-road advocate out there?
And radio host?
With his shoes and outfits.
Is he wearing a tie? He's a tie right now?
Well, he could, but Randy's also a rocker, in addition to being an off-roader. And when they did the plank road thing,
100-year centennial.
The 100-year?
Yeah, 100-year. Yeah.
And I saw Randy out there. I'd never seen such a pair of shoes in the desert.
Do you want to defend yourself, Randy?
Well, I like shirts with buttons, and I like Gibson guitars.
I love Gibson guitars.
Yeah, you and me both. Well, that's all you really need to say. Hey, how do people help you guys keep pushing forward? I mean, is there groups that somebody can join? I mean, is there yearly subscriptions? And what do you got?
Both websites have an opportunity to help us with an annual help subscription. It doesn't take much. I think we even have a button as low as $10. It really helps us add up, because, you know, these grants that we get have a 26% match requirement. And, you know, on $1 million, that's $340,000 of match. And a lot of times we're able to get that match through our vehicle use, because we own our own vehicles. But what happens when our vehicles wear out? It's hard for us to buy new vehicles. And You know, we're always on the lookout for, it's another thing is we're always on the lookout for quality used four-wheel drive vehicles. And, you know, we'd love to take some donations we're not looking for beauty queens because they're going to get dinged up and pinstriped on the first week. But, you know, especially something that's got some miles left to it, that's got a bed that we can throw some fencing and siding materials in, and something with four doors so we can fit four people in comfortably, right, to be able to bounce around the trails and get it done. We sure would appreciate either donations or good deals.
Well, let me throw a suggestion out. Then we're going to take our last break. Every car manufacturer has a press fleet, and once those vehicles get anywhere from 15,000 to 20,000 miles on them, they either go to an auction, they go to a school, and they take the VIN plate off, or they get crushed. So what we need to do is get you to reach out. Like Toyota just donated our San Diego Coast Guard and our lifeguards, all brand new Toyota trucks.
Wow.
So
good for them.
I think that's an avenue you need, and I'll help you with that. From a media standpoint, all you have to do is put a proposal together and let me, you know, go after Nissan, Toyota, Dodge, and see if, now granted, and they don't care if they get dinged up, and maybe you get a 1-year lease or maybe get them donated, but I'll get contact information from Ed on how to get a hold of you, and let me see if we can't, you know, put a Band-Aid on that problem.
That's the best news I've heard in a long time. Thanks, Dave.
I'm definitely going to work on it. Trust me. All right, we got to take a quick break, our last. And you might as well stay. You've been here for 45 minutes. Might as well keep you for an hour right here on SCORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, we're talking with Randy Banas, and you tell me Randy's title. It's longer than my arm.
Oh, he's got a number of titles, but president of these organizations. Those are the big ones.
That's easy.
Friends of El Mirage and Friends of Jawbone.
Yeah.
And being on the Desert Advisory Council. Do you have any other positions, Randy?
Yeah.
No, that's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just
it's plenty. I just, in case you happen to have something else, I didn't know.
So, Randy, do you see a light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, as far as trying to keep our lands open for everybody as long as they take care of them?
The thing that really turns my stomach, and I say not turns my stomach in a sick way, but in a heartfelt way, is when people don't go home after they went riding. They instead have to go to the hospital, have to be life flighted out, or worse, when the CHP shows up, because, you know, CHP only shows up to an OHV area for one reason, and that's a fatality.
Exactly.
And, you know, I know you guys, I'm sure you've had conversations on safety.
Yeah.
And I just want to punctuate that because, you know, back in the day when the Jeeps were bumping along the trails, your speed was limited by leaf springs and dental bills for having your fillings rattled out. But now we've got off-road vehicles that can go so lightning fast on these trails, and are made with suspensions that are marvels of technology. And I love speed too, and speed is great. Speed's great on the dry lake bed, on the flats, and on the open. But gosh, when people are in the gullies, or in the ravines, or tucked in the washes, and they're pushing the limits of their vehicle and their own limits with respect to speed, the possibility of collisions with other vehicles and motorcycles just really ratchets up there. The risk just really grows high, and we need to all work hard together to see that speed is practiced where speed is is safe, and that where speed is not safe, people use more caution. We even lost a pickup truck in Jawbone that was parked. One of our crews was outside the pickup working on the trail. The thing was parked, you know, halfway off the trail, because that's the best you can do when you're in the bushes. And a side-by-side came around just way too fast, and he had a life flight to the hospital, and our pickup truck got totaled. So it's even happened to us, and these collisions are happening. Tip-overs are happening. People aren't being trained how to respond properly in a rollover by keeping your hands inside and arms inside the vehicle, and we're really having a lot of gruesome injuries out in places that people are supposed to be having fun.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's not a racetrack. You're not at the Baja 5000.
That's what a lot of people don't understand. They get into these new side-by-sides. They didn't grow up going to the desert like we did. The pandemic brought in an influx of newbies to the industry.
And no training.
Mm-hmm. And it just seems, you know, they watch Instagram or these TikTok videos, and they see people that are out there that have been doing this for years.
Jumping,
so their experience and their skills is totally different.
Jumping the canals.
You know, and they may have been in that spot over 100 times already and done it. And you've got a newbie out there that's out there for their first, second, third time. And they're like, oh, I've already hit this twice. On the third one, I'm going to hit it a little bit faster. And then the next thing you know, tore off a hand because they rolled over and the passenger side stuck their hand out or, you know, something along those lines. We've seen it in every desert.
A few years ago, I was on a ride, and a guy who had just got a side-by-side, he turned it over in a corner and put his arm out, and compound fracture of his arm. Then he told us that he was on heart meds, so we had to get a helicopter. It just ruined the day.
Yeah.
So Randy, you're absolutely right that these injuries are a terrible thing, and we're talking about taking action on that. Well, I'm not ready to go into all the details, but I think something needs to be done and will be done in the next year or so.
Hopefully we've been trying to work with state parks and with the Bureau of Land Management to get more implicated, you know, with the manufacturers. We've been through to different manufacturers for, you know, the key thing is the window netting, so that the net is supplied by the manufacturer. It's a factory given thing, so that the net is there, and you don't have a thing to be able to put your arm out, you know, because that is one of the number one things I think right now that injury wise that has been happening. So
that's a bad one. You know what's funny is we found out that putting whip flags on vehicles, like side by sides, when they're installed on the vehicle, the operator has a greater awareness of potential dangers.
Yeah,
and we're talking about doing some kind of legislation for that. And, you know, when we go out to the desert, we think whip flags, everybody should have them. But then we don't think about going to places with trees and having a whip flag and then having it broken off on the trees. So
right.
A lot of parts of the country and the state, whip flags are not maybe the best thing, but in some areas, they absolutely are the best thing. So I'm not sure how to manage that. Right now, state parks mandates whips, and the BLM mandates them in some areas like Dumont, the Imperial Sand Dunes, Ocotillo Wells, but not every area that could use them has them.
Yeah.
Randy, do you guys have any whip flag rules where you guys are working?
No, we don't. However, in this current grant application cycle for the state parks off-highway vehicle grants, Friends of Jawbone does have a education grant that I have to polish up today before we submit the final tomorrow. That is a side-by-side UTV education program that has an in-person video class, and those who go through that class will receive a free whip and a mount.
Oh, that's cool.
Would that take place at the visitor centers?
Yes, it would. It would. So I'm hoping to have the state support on that.
Wow, I sure hope they come around and help you with that, because that'd
can't
be very
see why
important.
Why they wouldn't? I think they would be in full support of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course they want it, but Like, do they have the money to back that up with? Because these things are not cheap.
That's really the trick. These grants are enormously competitive, and to be fair to all applicants, it's a score-based application process. So as long as we score well and I answer the questions correctly, I'm optimistic that we'll finish high enough to receive the award.
Wait a minute. We don't have any problem printing money. Just tell them how much you want. They'll crank out the old money machine.
Right.
I mean, isn't that the way that goes? I'm sorry. I shouldn't be that way.
No. Randy, do you have any sponsors?
The program's funded by gas tax. So
right.
Get people to buy more gas.
We got about 2 minutes left here. Do you have any sponsors that you want to give a shout out to? You want to make sure that you state your websites for us and how I know we already said people can donate. It's not a membership like SDORC, but we still need your support to be able to do what we do.
Whether you're an off-roader or not, we don't even, if you're not off-road, well, that's fine. But if you just want to help keep, you know, the deserts open, the lakes and all the things that we're entitled to live in this country, we should be able to enjoy them.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, our Jawbone website is easy. It's jawbone.org. Okay. And our El Mirage website is just as easy. It's elmirage.org. And I would like to just shout out, it's not only the off-highway vehicle users that are supporting us with donations. We have received donations from renewable energy companies such as Terra-Gen, who we work with to be able to provide access through or around their renewable energy project so that we don't lose access to vast acres of land. And also, oddly but wonderfully, Friends of Jawbone received its largest single individual donation this year from a gentleman who represents the Falcon conservation community. He's entirely in support of the designated route network. His message is if people can stay on the designated trails, our falcon population will continue to recover. And he donated an enormous amount of money to us from his trust. And that was heartwarming to see even the conservation community coming to our aid.
That is so fantastic.
It's all about education. It's not closure. It's education.
Yep.
And
it's all it
making
is.
Everybody aware and raising awareness. Randy, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for tuning in, being here with us on SDORC Dirt Radio. We really appreciate you. Hopefully you can come back here soon.
All right.
The pleasure was all mine.
Okay. Hey,
thank
folks,
you,
there's a meeting Tuesday at the Ranch House. For anybody that's interested in SDORC, you want to help support, come down, talk off-road, have a beer. Who knows? I'll even be there on this show. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, but guess what? San Diego Automotive Museum Radio right around the corner.
San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.